Time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce Pratt in the house with us. And on the telephone line, great friend of our show, the author of the wonderful book, Nine Goals, Reg Lansbury joins us. Reg, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Rich. Always great to be with you and Bruce.
Well, so good to have you with us here. And we're going to talk a little hockey this afternoon, but an interesting story of hockey and the idea of retired jerseys and, the relative lack of them. Were you a bit surprised to find that when you first started looking into it?
I was surprised by the gaps, really, because the first number was retired in 1933 when Ace Bailey of the Toronto Maple Leafs was grievously injured by Eddie Shore at the old Boston Garden. He was lucky to survive two brain surgeries over the following 7 days, and in tribute, the Maple Leafs immediately retired his number 6. That was the very first number retired in all of professional sports.
Wow.
I didn't realize that.
I love that story.
When you look around the league, one of the things you point out is that there are certain teams that have been more active in retiring sweaters than others. And it's not just It's not just teams that have been around a long time versus newer teams. Why do you think that tradition is so different but in different cities?
I'll be honest. I think there's an inequity there that's really hard to put your finger on. Retirement ceremonies have become part of the fabric of the last couple of generations of sports fans. You know, today's fans love to buy jerseys and gear. They follow their teams closely on social media. So it's become a real happening. But certain teams have been lax over the years, and it's hard to really pin down why.
If there's any one team that you think, my God, why haven't they done more of this? Who's the culprit?
You know what I have to say? Even though they've just retired Willie O'Ree's number 18, I have to say the Bruins, who have never retired the number of any of their elite Hall of Fame goaltenders, really, to me, constitute the biggest void of all.
And of those goaltenders, and they've had some great goaltenders over the years, who do you think would be most deserving to have their sweater go to the rafters?
Well, I think the first one has to be Frank Brimsek, who not only led the Bruins to Stanley Cups in 1939 and 41, but he won the Calder Trophy in 39 as the Rookie of the Year. He won two Vezina trophies, and his nickname of Mr. Zero came about the first 8 games, Rich, he played with the Bruins. He had 6 shutouts.
Wow.
Lord. That's wow.
I'm surprised to find out that Jerry Cheevers had his sweater retired.
That's right. And I mean, there's something where if you're a little more attuned to the current generation, all of us, I think, venerate the Bobby Orr era.
Yeah.
And Bobby, of course, led the Bruins to those 2 Stanley Cups. He won the Conn Smythe Trophy both times as the playoff MVP. And Jerry Cheevers was a money goaltender.
Oh, he sure was. The New York Rangers would have had at least one more world championship had it not been for Mr. Orr and Mr. Cheevers. There, to me, that was the difference. That was the difference in more than one series.
I was a big fan of Gilles Gilbert, but I can understand him not having his retired yet.
Yeah, and I will say there's one interesting wrinkle in there. Many teams have retired the same number for multiple players, and the reason being they should have retired the number years earlier. They never did that. But Cecil Tiny Thompson of the Bruins, he won the 29 Stanley Cup. He won 4 Vezinas. He wore number 1 as well as Frank Brimsek. His number is deserving to be retired.
And when you look at who's getting retired now or whose jersey is being retired at the moment, Pekka Rene is there. And he's been a great goalie. I don't know if he's one of the top 10 or 15 all-time goalies, but... I'm just wondering whether it's time for the Hockey Hall of Fame or the NHL to have its own sort of veterans committee looking back at these kinds of things and with a little less jaundiced eye, with a little more focus on what was really accomplished, because there's some people with some big numbers that most people don't know.
That's right. I mean, I'll throw out 2 right away. Brad Park, who of course was so great with the Rangers before the famous trade to the Bruins on November 7th, 1975. He actually played more games with the Bruins than the Rangers, but because he essentially split his career, neither team, I guess, feels he's deserving to have his number retired, which is an absurdity to Ranger fans in New York.
Yeah, and I've heard people say that they ought to retire Esposito's number in New York, and I go, no.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think Phil was there quite long enough, but you have Chris Chelios, who played close to a quarter of a century on defense in the NHL. He basically split his time with three of the original six teams, the Blackhawks, the Canadiens, and the Red Wings. And he won three Stanley Cups. For his number not to be retired is an inequity that really is just horrendous.
We're talking with Reg Lansbury here on Sportslit 101 on Downtown. Reg, is there an inequity in terms of, you mentioned goaltenders, in terms of other positions? Is it lean more toward offense or defense from those who've had those numbers retired?
You know, if you look at the NHL totals, Rich, it is fairly balanced. I mean, I think some of it is the tradition of individual teams. But I do have to say this, the peace of mind that ran in November in the Hockey News, I mentioned there are six teams that had never retired a number. Within 14 days, three of those six teams had an epiphany and decided to retire a jersey, Pekka Rinne's number 35 being one of them.
Yeah, I when you first mentioned that, when you first sent me that information, I thought, my God, this man controls the hockey world. I mean, that is amazing that it was 2 weeks later. Of all the people that they are honoring now, are any of them to you, maybe they are, maybe they aren't ready for that? I'm looking at Rick Nash at Columbus. I mean, did he really have the numbers?
You know what? Rick does have the numbers in Columbus. And in the 2004 season, he finished in a three-way tie for the Rocket Richard Trophy for the most goals scored in the NHL with 41. He would be the one Nashville player that I think is very deserving right now.
It just makes me feel old to see guys on that list like Nash, like Chris Pronger, who to me seemed like they were playing yesterday.
That's right. And Chris Pronger actually would have had his number retired a year ago, but when the pandemic hit, then St. Louis had to postpone it for obvious reasons.
So, Reg, how does it work? Does each team have its own criteria for the retirement of numbers?
I would say this, having followed sports closely for 55 or 6 years, it really, I think, depends a little bit on the market. I would say one commonality, Rich, follows every team, and that is, and this is going to sound silly to your readers, they really feel duty-bound to honor someone who's alive so that they're there at the ceremony.
Well, I can understand that.
Frank Remsick, I'm sure, I haven't checked if any of his children are alive, but I know he has grandchildren. I don't understand why they couldn't be there, and it would be a tremendous occasion to salute their legacy.
Yeah, especially because when you think about Ace Bailey, Bill Masterson, people whose numbers were retired because of tragedies, not because of mm-hmm. I mean, I think Ace Bailey might have gone on to have the kind of career that people expected of him. But when I think, to Rich's point, one of the things I wonder is how much of this is driven by ownership as ownership changes and the league changes. Do you think there's a different kind of owner today that sees some extra value in doing these kinds of things?
Oh, I think they definitely do. I mean, the competition for the sports dollar is so fierce. I almost think it's a no-brainer. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist just retired, and the Rangers wasted no time. The day after he announced his retirement, they announced that they're retiring number 30.
Yeah, that stunned me how fast that happened. And now I was also stunned by how poorly the Rangers played that night. I'm still not over that.
Well, none of us are. I'll just say this. The Rangers have retired 11 numbers. And they retired Harry Howell's number 3 and number 9 for Andy Bathgate on the same night. So you can combine that. But their record in retirement ceremonies is 1 win and 9 losses.
Oh, man, we got to start doing these when the season's over.
It's not very good.
No, that's not good at all. That's an amazing stat.
Now, Reg, we get the other side of this here in New England with the Boston Celtics, who we have retired every number out there and also have retired numbers or jerseys representing people who were not on the court, but owners, legendary coaches, even broadcasters. Do we see much of that in hockey?
No, because, and I'll say this, the big disparity there is Major League Baseball has never had a problem doing that. They've retired 198 numbers. And, for instance, Sparky Anderson, who led the Cincinnati Reds to two World Series championships in the 70s and the 1985 Detroit Tigers, both of those teams have retired a jersey for him.
Well, as it should be.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
He's obviously very
right.
good.
And you know, for the New England audience, I'll just give you an example. I mean, Ted Williams played his final game at Fenway, of course, September 28th, 1960. And as we all remember, he hit a home run in his last time at bat. But his number was not retired until May 29th, 1984.
Wow.
15 years.
24 years later.
24 years later.
I was doing some research, and apparently the Red Sox had a policy that they wouldn't retire a number unless the player was in the Hall of Fame.
Wow. Well, yeah, they did have that for a while, yeah.
Although, David Ortiz, of course, I guess they decided to waive it for him.
Yeah. So when you look at hockey and you look at the way it's growing, and I would say we already have too many teams, that you think that this is going to become more common, or you're going to need to have the same? I mean, if you're the greatest player in the first 8 years of the Seattle Kraken, they're probably going to retire your number, whether you're Hall of Famer or not.
True. I mean, as I mentioned, it went on the web, but it didn't go in my piece. Seattle, on opening night this year, they retired a number. They retired number 32 for the fact that they're the 32nd team in the NHL.
Yeah, that I saw that, and I just didn't quite get that. I just decided it looked too much like one of the Golden Knights pregame shows to me.
That's right, exactly.
When you when you're looking out here in the future, who do you think is going to be the next couple of people we're going to hear about? I mean, it's hard to pick it out, but is there somebody lurking in the wings of one of these teams that you think? I mean, is Shea Weber, for instance, if he can't come back, does he get his sweater lifted somewhere?
Well, I'll give you a big one that I touch upon in my piece. It's the Pittsburgh Penguins, who have technically only retired two numbers in the history of the team. But to answer your question, they have three waiting in the wings right now, if not four or five.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Marc-Andre Fleury whenever he hangs up his skates. They're going to have Sidney Crosby one day soon. Yeah. They're going to have Geno Malkin when he retires. And they're definitely going to have Chris Letang.
Yeah.
Now, the big one out there that they have never retired because he's still playing at age 49 yeah. is Jaromir Jagr.
Right, and you could make the case the Rangers could retire his number two.
Sure, although he was really only there about 2.5 years. But since you've mentioned the Rangers, let me just jump in and say they're the test tube baby for not retiring numbers in honor of their heritage. They really should retire a banner for the great Lester Patrick,
yeah,
who built the team and put them together, especially given that there are four generations of Patricks that have their name on the Stanley Cup.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I don't see how that's a legacy you can ignore. And of course, the first great line the Rangers ever had was the Hall of Famers, Frank Boucher, in between Bill Cook, who most of us consider the greatest Ranger of all time, and his brother, Bun Cook, on the left wing. They should have a banner up there the way the gag line does in New York for Jean Rattel, Rod Gilbert, and Vic Hadfield.
Yeah, and I think, Reg, it's really important when you say that because to me, you know, the gag line, those were my heroes. Those were the guys I followed when I was in prep school and playing hockey. That Rod Gilbert was, even though he's right-handed, was the guy I always wanted to be. I tried to get his number all the time. I think that a lot of times hockey would be better off if people understood more of the history. I mean, obviously for my hockey lit course, I've read a lot of it. But like the Cooks, I'd say 90% of the people who hold season tickets at Madison Square Garden don't know about the Cook brothers.
And I mean, in terms of hockey history, Bill Cook, all the historians who are far more eminent than I would ever claim to be, will tell you he was probably the greatest Ranger in the history of the team. He wore number 5, which has never been retired. And one reason he's so prominent in the NHL is he was the forerunner of Gordie Howe. He was the meanest, toughest player that no one bothered to tangle with.
And he scored goals.
Yeah. He was a key member of the Rangers' first 2 Stanley Cup champions. And Frank Boucher, of course, was the very first player to wear number 7. And given that the Rangers never retired it, Rod Gilbert inherited it in 1960 when they called him up.
I've heard a rumor, and you might know this, that Gilbert asked for that number because Boucher was also French. I heard that. Stéphane Matteau may have told me that, but somebody said that in some conversation about it.
No, I wouldn't doubt that at all. I mean, Rod Gilbert's hero when he joined the Rangers was Andy Bathgate, so he was pinching himself on that basis alone.
Well, I'm just looking at the list, Reg, of Boston Bruins numbers, and it's shocking to me that as one of the original 6 American franchises, only 11 numbers in their entire history have been retired.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Chicago has not even retired that many. I mean, some franchises are strict. There's no question about it. I mean, I wouldn't think the Bruins are holding against Jerry Cheevers the fact he left them and went on to play for the World Hockey Association, but I certainly would hope not.
Well, it's a very interesting work. Reg, great talk with you as always. Thanks so much for making time for us this afternoon. We will have to catch you again down the road.
Please do. Thanks so much for having me.
Keep sending stuff when you got new stuff out. Love to read it.
You bet I will.
Thanks, Reg.
Take care.
That's Reg Lansbury, author of 9 Goals with us here on Downtown.